I'll remember here in a minute. What was that? I can't believe it was like, I can't remember that. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. I'm just trying to remember what the old jail was with Keith Cocklazer. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Keith Cocklazer to the show. How you doing, Chief?
Good morning.
It's great to see you.
It's warm in here today. You guys talk about how cold it is. It's nice and warm.
Feels good in here. It feels good. This is my, everybody beefs about the heat in this studio for the most part because but I like it warm.
And I'd crack a window.
You're crazy.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd crack the, see, that's, they usually, she'll probably come close the door here because she'll hear us talk. And that will warm things up. It becomes a little
sweat box,
little Dutch oven sweat box type of thing.
We'll come out and do some interviews.
Probably not a bad thing. You could do those here.
Yeah.
You could do interviews here because we've got the windows. Now they're not one sided.
Right. It's intimidating though.
Is it really?
Makes people nervous sitting over here.
Well, I got to tell you, I have seen that in the past. I have seen that the occasional guest on the other side has seemed a little nervous. But usually usually the people sitting across from me aren't handcuffed to the table.
That's true. But I don't know. I don't see any holes, so we're all right.
No, that's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, Chief of Police Keith Cocklazer, and do you have... Now that you mention it, since I came to the, I did come to the police station for the tour the one time, and I never got it.
Right.
You still want me to come? I guess, am I still welcome?
I tell you what, being a high traveler, of international traveler, we'll welcome you back and give you a tour.
Well, I appreciate that. I certainly do appreciate that. So do you have a sweat box?
We have a room. That is microwave. It's got a microphone and video recording.
Uh-huh.
It's probably 8x8, 10x10.
That probably makes it easier on your investigations, doesn't it? In that you don't have to have a camera sitting over there.
We've done that. There are certain crimes in the state of Illinois that have to be recorded, period.
Yeah.
So we have a room set up. And it's always good in today's society. A lot of people don't trust the police.
Is the camera in the wall or is the camera outside? You have the camera out.
It's in the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people don't trust the police. And so we encourage videotaped interviews. That way we don't put words in people's mouths.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks see it on TV and you'll see the occasional. Remember Homicide: Life on the Street? The TV show Homicide: Life on the Street.
Now, what age are we talking here?
It was 1990s.
Okay, that's not bad.
I'm not that much older. I'm 9 years older than you.
I'm going to have to go with no. I don't know that one.
It's set in Baltimore.
Okay.
And one of the things that they always did, the best parts of the show were that they had they had Andre Brower, who's now on Brooklyn 99. He would go in there and break people down. And they didn't shove anybody. Nobody got pushed and shoved or something. That was the part of the show, a big part of the show. Since we're on it, we may as well talk about it. What you probably can't make any physical contact with anybody in there, can you? I guess I'm just asking questions because you see it on TV.
Yeah, that'd be a no-no.
Is that right?
Yes. We do have an interview room. There is nothing to distract the attention.
Do you have the light? All right, I got it all. Is there a third degree light?
No.
No?
No, and there's no thick phone books either.
It's
just a plain Jane room. Nothing.
See, yeah, that's the thing. You always see
it takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it?
You always see on TV, you see the thick phone book that sits there on the desk menacingly.
Right, but you got to switch over to Discovery ID channels to see what a real interview room really looks like.
Do the Discovery ID shows, do they look pretty, I mean, that's normal, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're with those shows, you're dealing with Indianapolis where they have five rooms.
Yeah.
Whereas we have one.
Yeah.
So, we have the same crime, just a different scale. So we do the same thing as Indianapolis, as St. Louis. It's just to a different scale.
Have you seen anything like, you remember the movie L.A. Confidential? I'll ask you about another one.
But I've never seen it.
They had basically a theater seating. They had three different rooms. and they had theater seating, and of course this was set in the 1950s, and probably doesn't, it wasn't true to start with anyway, maybe, I don't know. But they had three different rooms, and there was like one policeman going from room to room to room, and he was able to turn on the recording devices or the sound devices in one room so the guys in the other room could hear what the one guy was saying. Then he'd go in there and say, hey, look, little Joe Bob's giving you up.
Yeah, we don't do that.
You don't do that? No.
Can't give all the tricks out.
Well, I don't want you to. Oh, the criminals don't listen to my show. My show, the audience of my show is entirely up and up. You don't have any criminals.
Oh, I thought it was countywide. Everybody tuned in. Factory stops, break time.
Well, you got a point.
Goes on the overhead.
Yeah, you got a point. You do have a point there. All right. So it's just basically a general room with a table and you just sit in there and talk.
Table, a couple chairs, and sit down and have a conversation to see if we can figure out what's going on.
You've been in this for 15, 16, 17 years now. What's the longest conversation you've had with a fella before that you basically knew had done it? I mean, at what point do you give up trying to get a confession out of somebody and say, hey, look, we're just going to have to give this to the state's attorney or something like that?
I've personally done about a two-hour one, and Detective Titzer actually did a two-hour and 45-minute and got a confession.
Really?
But like I said, they're not chained to the desk. They're allowed to go out and use the restroom, have drinks. We bring them drinks. We're accommodating. We just try to get to the bottom of everything.
Yeah.
No stone unturned.
What's how does that start? What's the process like on a 2-hour interview like that? I mean, you basically, I guess I'm asking you ingratiate yourself with the folks, put them in their place, that kind of thing, or put yourself in their place.
There's many, many steps of interview process. First of all, nobody's comfortable coming to the police department anyway.
Right.
So you got to begin by getting to know the person, maybe a little chit chat back and forth. Then you always kind of try to get their side of the story, what's going on. Then you try to pick that apart with what you know, with all the knowledge out there. So it's a long process. They can go quick. I interviewed a guy that, back when Rax was still in business. He broke in and he was an employee. And after about hour and 20 minutes, he finally gave it up and he wrote on a piece of paper, I broke into Rax and took money. And that was his confession.
He didn't say it.
Well, he said it, but that's what he wanted to put on paper. I broke in and took money, period.
How'd that go at court? I mean, did the judge not ask him how he did it? Or
I believe he took a deal and he went on his way.
Huh.
So, but then you have the ones that last forever and you have ones that you don't. I mean, it's an art to sit there and obviously you talk to people every day.
Yeah. Well, I've had Ricky White on the show, and he does it for the state police, mm-hmm. and
he utilizes our building a lot.
He's pretty good at it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something you don't learn overnight.
I've always what's the process in the learning that? I mean, you've been in it for 16 years now, yeah. And experience matters, doesn't it?
Experience is the key thing. I mean, there are classes out there. There's books out there. There's videos out there on how to interview and what kind of questions you'll be asked. But, experience, knowing people, knowing how to react, what to look for, deception signs, we'll sit here and look each other in the eye because it's an honest setting.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to hide something from me, you're going to have different body language than I am.
Hey, we already know about hypothetical guy. He's an entirely different person.
Haven't had the pleasure.
You've never met hypothetical guy.
I think I might know him. But I may invite him up for a tour.
No. Hypothetical guy's going nowhere near. Well, okay, so I got to ask then. You said you have the occasional, you had the one that took 2 hours, and you have the, or is it ever really, how surprising is it? If you get somebody in there, and I'm assuming that you've been able to talk folks into these people must just want to spill their guts from time to time. I mean, how often or does it ever happen, or what's the quickest that you've had some guy who's gone in there and basically telling yourself, I didn't do a thing. I'm closed lip. I'm Mr. Innocent. I'm clean and pure as the wind driven snow. And then basically went in there and said, oh, I did it.
Yeah. You'd be surprised with today's age, with video surveillance cameras everywhere. A little example, I mean, he was a juvenile, but we got a kid for breaking neighbor's property.
Uh-huh.
Called him and his parents in, a little quick interview with the kid. You know, hey, sure. You know, kids do kid things. Showed him the video. Wearing the same clothes.
Same shoes. Same clothes at the same time.
Same shoes, same hat, same jacket. Can you tell me who that kid is in that video? No, I don't know. Mom, Dad, as you can see, I believe the video depicts your son here. What do you think? He said it wasn't him. So, I mean, you have parents like that. But
I bet you they were going to take him home if they could have gotten him out. I said, yeah, you little jerk.
It's a different world.
I suspect that.
I keep going back to that.
Well, now that's true too. I'm talking with Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklaser. We'll probably talk about some other things currently affecting the Fairfield Police Department right now. But I was interested in that. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW FM after these. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. My guest across the way, it is Keith Cocklaser. He's the chief, Fairfield City Police Chief, now for about a year and a half. And you're growing into the job. Are you enjoying the job more and more all the time, Keith?
Always.
Yeah?
Just happy to get out of bed. No, it's rewarding. It is. From all the negative that we see people at their
worst.
And you know, most the average citizen has three contacts with us: a traffic stop, a traffic crash, and hopefully they're not a victim of a crime.
Yeah.
So the majority of the public just sees us driving around.
Yeah.
No contact with us, but you know, it's tough, small town cop, because you deal with the same people every day.
Well, but also the good part about that though is that you get to know more people, or you probably have a chance to know people a little bit better than maybe the larger police force folks, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean it's got its rewards because you do live in the same community.
Yeah.
So right then you treat people with respect because you're living here too. You're going to see them again.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that animosity, I guess.
Yeah, no animosity.
Yeah. So it's just a different line of work.
That's pretty good. Tell me a little bit about. I don't know if I know that whenever Justin was here last time, we were talking about when Justin Titzer was here. We were talking a little bit about he talked about his investigation into the. I'm trying to remember which drug bust it was at the time. That's always ongoing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you guys were involved in the recent drug bust like last week or week before last, right?
We assisted with that. He was talking about the synthetic.
That's right,
the
K2 one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which is still,
are you still seeing some of that?
A little low right now, which
good.
Is fine.
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions, hopefully. Hopefully they're taking effect for people.
I got to tell you, I've known a few people who may occasionally dabble in that kind of thing, and I've never seen them make a New Year's resolution to stop.
It's a new year.
You never know.
Yeah, it's always going to be there. You're not going to get rid of it. It's just peaks and valleys, you know, and the cold weather has kind of pushed people inside. So this is, I hate to use the Q word, our normally slow time, I guess. I'll use that word. Probably just jinx everybody for the road today, so we'll be busy tomorrow.
You didn't want to use the, I like the avoiding the Q word.
Yeah.
But it is true. I mean, whenever you look, I can judge from my own neighborhood when it warms up. You see folks getting out and getting a little bit more raucous than they otherwise would because it's a chance to get out, right?
Well, you think about last year, it was warm all the way up through December. Yeah. I mean, you were gone. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We had the big storm.
Which
doesn't happen in December.
Yeah, I missed that by about one day. It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
How was it here?
We had about four roads blocked. We had to put officers out and get line crew out and some trees trimmed. And lines put.
Yeah. See, I didn't know how much damage. All I heard was like the number of inches and that kind of thing.
We shut down Delaware at the Legion for probably an hour and a half.
Did you really?
Flagpole caught power lines, brought them down.
Oh, no kidding.
Up on First Street, we had trees take down power lines, North First, past Northside School. Just hit and miss throughout town. But then we got to divert traffic around those so them guys can get out there and do their job.
Well, see, now that's the thing. Did you have to call folks out? Did you have to call some fellas out to help out with that?
No, we had just enough on that day. I was out working and Detective Titzer, then two road guys. So we had four guys out at four spots, and that was the majority of the problems. Just get the city crews there and get their job done and open it back up.
What time of day was that?
Right about noon.
Oh, really?
Noon to two, right in there.
In the middle of the week, middle of Christmas week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's no fun at all. Yeah, I bet you there was a little bit of traffic.
There was a lot of traffic. And we've had a great – we had one snow this year.
Yeah.
And people have done great. I don't think we had any crashes.
Well, you see, now that's the thing you can talk about, the cooperation of the general public whenever you had these issues.
They are. It is frustrating to come up where you have to go around a block, especially if you're driving a semi or whatever. 99% of people understand. It's that 1% that want to see what that bucket truck's doing that usually try to go around us or into us. And we had about two of those in an hour and a half span. So
well, that's good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad. You could have had silly things like the dude over at that wreck last week. Tell me a little bit about that. Being an officer of the court, you had a fellow court officer, basically.
Yes.
Coming and having what a tragedy!
Very sad, very sad,
very sad. How was the? And you got to assume that this fellow's Facebook posts were going out in real time while he's in the car.
Yep.
And were being read by maybe folks who were even on the job.
Yeah, well, I believe the news station down in Carbondale picked it up and posted them. I think.
Oh, is that right?
It was tied to it. I just saw the aftermath that night. I kind of. Sometimes I get on the wife's Facebook and kind of scroll around. Yeah. I happened to see it, read it.
How does that make you feel?
I got a little angry.
Yeah.
People don't understand what happens. And
it's a lot of disregard. What an amount of disregard and disrespect.
Well, I was telling you guys off the air, I happened to talk to the tow company that were there, and they said it was one of the worst crashes they've seen in a long time.
Really?
Even the inmate... juvenile had to be cut out of the wreckage. The roll bar in the van pretty much saved the kid's life.
Really?
So
he was in the back. He wasn't being carried.
Yeah,
in the front.
He had to be, I believe, cut out of his shoes. It just everything could go wrong there. I believe did. It just that certain spot on that interstate was bad. They got everybody out. Everything getting the ambulance on the way. The ambulance had a flat tire. They told me they had to jack up the ambulance with the jaws of life, just change tire on
an
ice-cold, snowy day with everybody backed up. Just a horrible situation. And then idle hands, some guy was decided to...
He was fed
post.
Up.
He's fed up. He decided to post on his while he was sitting there, complaining that no detour was made. Well, I'm sure the detour was made at the Mount Vernon exit.
Yeah.
And the people that had already gone through were just in
kind of stuck on an ice day, on an icy cold.
So, I mean, the rest of the traffic was being diverted at the overpass, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It just takes time. I mean, it takes time. You got, not only do you have to get the responders to the scene, but then you got to have more responders come in behind it and try to get the detour. I mean, we're not going to go straight and do the detour and say, okay, we'll get to the crash later. You know, we're going to go help people first.
Where was that? Do you remember?
It was at the interchange, 5764 interchange.
So it was
south.
South of
Veterans Drive, I can believe.
Okay.
I don't know exactly. But that just shows how powerful in 2016 social media is.
Really?
You know, you think you're...
You think you're relatively... You might think you're relatively...
anonymous.
Anonymous.
I don't know. Anonymous is not a word. Just your friends are going to see this.
Yeah.
And my upraising is just totally wrong. Even if I wasn't a police officer, I would never say anything like that about anybody.
Sure.
But it just shows you how powerful, how far that spreads, and what it can do to your career.
Because, he's done with that firm.
Yeah. And I'm sure that the firm, like I said, I just kind of snooping around. They went on real quick, made a statement that that's not what the firm believes.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of backtracking going on.
I bet
there
was.
A lot of covering. But it was a bad situation. And we're going to run into those in life. I don't know how long he'd sit there. I have no idea. But we do our best to get people cleared out in town if we have a crash. And, I mean, the example I'll give you is the power line down.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's both lanes of traffic.
Sure.
If we have a crash in town at an intersection, we get cleaned up fast as we can, and we try to get people around it. It does take time to get tow trucks there. We have two services in town, but if you think about interstate, how far they got to travel.
Right.
If one happens, you know.
The other thing with the power line being down on Delaware in the rain, and I'm assuming it was wet that day. The other thing of that, folks in this area, Wayne White folks, have been reminded how serious business those power lines are, yeah. Especially in the last 6 months.
Yeah, everybody, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
We're just happy to come in the room and turn the switch on. There's a lot of behind the scenes that we don't see, and one little mistake.
Takes one little mistake. And you've got the poor old guy spending a lot of time in the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Keith Cocklazer, a Fairfield City Police Chief, have you had to get when you have the big snow? I guess it's the first relatively sizable snow of the year, and maybe the last. I don't know. Do you ever have to get more folks out? I know the city folks are running blades all the time. You got any like tips and stuff for folks near the blades? Just stay away from the blades, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to see with snow flying. We try to get the roads cleared. If we're out and the city's not out and it's starting to get slick, we go ahead and call them. Whether 2 a.m, 3 a.m.
Oh, really? So you guys are like the first, basically, not responders, but tell them, hey, it's getting bad out here.
Yeah. If it's something that's they thought it was going to be small and it's got larger, hey, it's getting slick out. We need some salt out. We'll make that call. It was a good powdery snow, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Didn't have chain cars. It was wonderful. Just had the trucks, and away we went, and we did our job.
Yeah, otherwise you'd have been having to get out and chain the cars and spend about 10 minutes that way.
No, it's more than that. We take them to the garage. They put them on lifts. They do it all.
Oh, do that.
They didn't have to do that this time. Didn't have to call anybody out. We just kept working, and city did a pretty good job. It's tough. I mean, you got cars parked on the side of the road.
God bless the city. I thought they did a great job because usually I don't get a blade down my road.
Right.
And I don't know if somebody accidentally took a wrong turn.
No, I think they were expecting that one. I think we have three trucks and had the backhoes out going.
Yeah.
They had
a decent amount of warning,
mm-hmm.
and it had the opportunity. Of course, that also with it being the first big one of the year, they still had plenty of salt and stuff left.
Yeah, we're good. Like I said, they get everybody out and they work countless hours clearing parking lots, driving lanes, parking lanes uptown. You'll see them snow piled up, and the next day they'll have dump trucks removing that snow so people can get in and out.
Right.
They do a great job.
Right. So how far back does – okay. If you're seeing a blade, you got a blade going, right? This hypothetical guy driving behind a blade coming into town, say. You got a blade going. He's on the one lane, right? He's on the right side lane. You think that you're okayed on the left side. How smart is it to go around a blade guy? Because they're going relatively slow.
Right. And, well,
In practice.
It depends.
It depends.
I'll give the example. I drove to Evansville for 2 years straight to go to school.
Okay.
Many times, be coming home, hard to travel.
Sure.
I
heard that I was talking to I was talking to a friend of mine whose daughter left USI the other night, mm-hmm. and could not see a thing for the first several miles leaving.
Yeah.
That must be where the wind whips across the plane down there at USI if you couldn't see stuff over there either.
I've done it before. We've been snowed out at school once I got there, and then I'll stick around with my buddy for a couple of hours. I'm like, well, I'll head home. Well, what hour and 15-minute trip turns into a 3-hour marathon.
Yeah.
And you're going 20.
Yeah.
Actually, the day my son had ear tubes put in, our appointment was at 7, and we left at 3:50 to get there on time, and we were going 15 in Indiana.
Oh, my.
Just passing cars, peeled off. I mean, it's horrible. But, no, I wouldn't want to pass a snowplow at high speed, because if you spin out, you're going to straighten that blade.
Yeah.
And you're going to be shoved no telling how far.
Yeah, until he gets shut down. Yeah. If it's slick, he ain't shutting down very quick.
But sometimes the hypothetical guy probably doesn't want to get his car salty.
No.
Salt thrown on the hood. So don't get too close with the rear end either.
By the way, hypothetical guy left his car out yesterday for the rain to take the salt off. And that didn't work out.
Didn't work out?
No.
Didn't rain hard enough.
It didn't rain.
Oh. It rained a little bit last
night. Did you get
night,
rain? No.
Not at all.
We got nothing here.
Weatherman's wrong again.
Weatherman was wrong.
Unbelievable.
I've got Keith Cocklaser, Chief of Police for the Fairfield City Police Department, here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back in just a moment.
Approaching me, she said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you all tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined by Keith Cocklaser, the Chief of Police here in Fairfield. And as part of his duties as Chief, he always attends the City Council meetings. Got a City Council meeting tonight, I guess, right?
6:00.
Your City Council meetings, after like the first 6 or 10 months of your chiefdom, have been relatively boring. You got all your parking stuff through. Tell me about the basketball games. I've noticed on the varsity ball games, at least the one last month, the ones last month, they let two or three games go, and I don't know if the officers weren't really mentioning it, or if they were letting stuff go. Like the third game, all of a sudden there was a list of like 10 cars that people needed to move. How's the basketball games going? We haven't had a home. We've only had one home game in a month.
Yeah, it's been a slow calendar year for the high school.
Yeah.
But people also got to remember that I have two officers on at a time, and there are more pressing calls than parking sometimes.
Yeah.
So it sometimes takes a little bit to get there if we're not doing something else.
Yeah.
But we've been trying to be convenient for people since this is new. And we'll try to go in and we'll take the extra step, go in, let people know that they're in the no parking. But, you know, we keep a list of who's been there. And if it continues, then we'll.
Well, I figure you must keep the list because somebody gives a list. The last game, it wasn't the game in against Red Hill a couple, 3 weeks ago. It was the one against, I guess, Vienna or somebody, the third home game. And the first two home games have gone by, you know, every game you get the occasional, please move your car, or we've got a Honda or something that's in the way. And then this game, in between games, they brought in a list of about 15 cars. It wasn't 15. 10 anyway. 10 cars. What are you finding? I mean, are people, when people come out and move, I guess you're out there. How are you being met with folks having to come out and move their cars?
I have no complaints so far. We try to get down there before the game. That way when people are
parking. Yeah, because it was in pregame.
Yeah, we're trying to get down there while people are coming in. And if we're down there, hey, no parking, please move. That way we get them before they get inside, get the popcorn, and nobody wants to leave the action of the sports. But I've personally, like today, this morning, after I took a little tour around town about 5:30 in the morning, always out, never know when I'm going to be out.
Sure.
Went down King Street. No parking on the south side, parking on the north. Straight shot. It was nice to be able to drive through without jig-jagging around vehicles.
Talking like at first.
Yeah.
Between first and second.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's working, in my opinion.
Well, that's good. That's the thing. Does it affect I haven't been to any grade school games. They've probably had more home games than the high school has.
You're also dealing with a smaller crowd, too. Maybe not anymore. I mean, there's a lot of players, but for all in all, we've had I think there have been two games that have been going simultaneously.
Oh, really?
The high school and the grade school.
Yeah.
And then we had a little more there. You didn't know which gym to go talk to people.
Yeah.
So we just do our best, get it cleared out. Like I said, the last thing we want to do is punish somebody, but we want to keep that street open, too.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason is there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we do our best to work with people, but there can come a time where we just got to get them moved.
So you'll see an occasional injury, like a kid hit his head or something back in Carmi the other night and last week, and yeah, there's a reason that you need ambulance services around.
Oh yeah, we've got called down to PE classes during the day. We've also got called the synthetic overdose.
Oh really?
That was at school.
Oh, no kidding.
So, you know, we need to get places.
And the quicker the better.
Yep.
In that kind of case. What do you see in the future? Do you have any more of those things on your agenda? Or is it something that just kind of comes up from time to time?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to work we did the lawns, the tall grass and junky yards over the summer.
That's going to be a while.
So we're trying to dive into some vehicles now.
I'm going to say, how'd the vehicle thing go? Yeah, I know you started giving. Did you start giving warnings or started taking them down? Right.
We did it with the yards, but now that you know we don't have to worry about tall grass or any of that. Everything's pretty
not till about June
cleared off. We can pretty much see all the cars now.
Sure, yeah.
So actually, it's funny you mentioned that. The past week and a half, I've had the officers going around identifying cars for a list, and we'll be getting notification to the owners that they need to be moved or fixed or repaired or sold or just need to be in compliance with the ordinance. That's kind of what our initiative is here at the beginning of the year.
Is it is your list similar in size to previous years, or is it a little smaller or larger?
Believe it or not, I mean, we drive the roads every day. Everything becomes blended sometimes, but we probably got over 100 cars in town.
Is that right?
Yes. You wouldn't believe it just by...
How many houses are there in town? How many households? 1,000? 2,000?
5,000 population.
5,000 people, bigger.
Four.
Two and a half a household?
Yeah, two and a half? Three.
Average.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Hey, nobody said there was going to be math on the show.
Hey, you're an engineer. You can handle it.
That's true.
Well, that's that. I'm kind of surprised it's that many, but I guess it, maybe folks think that they can just throw them in there after the summer ends. Because people, I mean, in the wintertime, people, if you're going to have hypothetical guy has had a vehicle parked at his house before that I know of.
It may have been covered under carport. Not that I know where hypothetical guy
it was right next to the carport. It was right next to the car. And it didn't move over the wintertime because it was just kind of there. What is the statute or what's the ordinance on that anyway?
Basically, missing wheels, engines, body parts, of course. No demo.
Body parts of the car.
Yes, yes. Let me clarify. Automotive body parts. So we'll get that cleared up.
Yeah.
Demolition cars are actually cannot be in the city unless they're in a garage.
Oh, no kidding.
Or
I got to tell you.
Unseen.
You know, Keith, you talk to the demolition guys from time to time. You talk to them. I've talked to them. They don't want their cars outside all that much because demolition's big business.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but, I mean, that's the ordinance. I didn't write it. We just enforce it.
Yeah.
So, and basically the vehicles have to be roadworthy, which means registration and insurance.
Really?
Up-to-date registration.
Oh, now that's a... Yeah. Oh, come on!
Yeah. Now, if you got inside of a building, you have a nice big garage, and you want to have car pieces here, there, and yonder, that's fine. This has got to be out of sight.
How often do you get other folks mentioning those kind of things to you as opposed to you guys driving around and seeing stuff?
I get an occasional letter from the public. Hey, do you mind looking into this? I've got one on my desk right now. Probably.
I mean, looking into the cars.
Yeah,
what I'm talking.
Yeah,
about.
10 vehicles.
Yeah,
just around town.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and that's one thing we want to encourage. A lot of people will wait.
Wait until it gets really gnarly.
Well, not even the vehicle thing. Just any crime you suspect a crime. Let's kind of talk about that. Don't wait a couple hours. Don't wait 2 days. Please don't call and say, hey, 2 days ago there was a kid uptown doing this.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that kid 2 days later.
It kind of makes it a little difficult at that point,
doesn't
it?
So we encourage people if they see something suspicious in their neighborhood, you know, kind of like the neighborhood watch. We don't have that officially. But if you see something suspicious or something out of the ordinary.
You've just got Crime Stoppers, which is after the fact.
Right. That's a different organization. We receive the tips. We have no idea who's calling in, and it's a great program. But if we're alerted to something, hey, somebody's walking around somebody's house, and I know that's not John
Doe. They're
not
supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And that's not Carol Duggar from the city or whatever. You know.
Yeah, they're not lifting up the water meter to read meters,
right.
And they're looking at windows. We'll take that call, and we'll go down and speak with those people because, like I said, we haven't had a big rash. We kind of solved that one at the end of the year last year. But another person take that person's spot.
Well, that's the trouble. You know, that's the thing. You got to remind people, and we reminded people on our show here for months that hey, lock your car, lock your car. The invitation to if you leave the invitation there for somebody to steal it, they're going to steal stuff out of your car. And even though you collared some guy, or you collared some folks. You don't want to go back out and just leave the invitations there on your car to steal, right?
That's correct. Yeah, what's pennies to you may be a fortune to them.
Yeah,
they'll do anything to get it.
I'll be doggone. I got Keith Cocklazer here with the Fairfield City Police Department. Any tips on the weather? Do you guys have to take care of anybody? I know you used to. Occasionally, you'd help people start cars. Do you still do that?
Unfortunately, we don't do that anymore.
I didn't know if you did that anymore.
We don't.
Leon did.
Well, with all the electronic, they used to have the jump.
Jimmy Joe did.
Yeah, they had the jump boxes on the front of the cars.
Yeah, they had the box there. I guess I didn't know if you did that anymore.
Well, you got to remember that back when the father was working, we've increased to radios, $4,000 cameras, $6,000 computers. Don't really want that surge going through.
You really kind of need to leave the power source inviolate, don't you?
Yeah, I remember riding with Dad and had the three radios with the three separate microphones.
Yeah,
you know, the old school.
Had the CB
toggle switch.
Had the CB. He had the police radio, and what was the other one? Just the normal
ISPRN, the state radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he had
and then he had WFIW on the car radio.
Well, of course, still do.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, that's how we order them. That's how they come in. pre-programmed.
Well, that's good. Hey, Keith, thanks very much for coming back out. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you made it back to the States.
I am, too. I really am, too. I tell you what, I'm glad you're able to keep the place together while I was gone.
It was tough.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to y'all again real soon.